if Sir Bailey's around, Sir Bailey, would you mind coming and just praying with Katie before she starts? I'll have those, thank you.
Pastor Katie. Father, I thank you for Katie, for the amazing time she spent with our brothers and sisters in Toronto. I praise you, God, because she came back, so now we can receive some of it. I just want to bless her now in Jesus' name for her to be an instrument in your hands. And if there anything on those notes that she shouldn't say, help her to know what. And if there's extra stuff she should say, she will know as well. And then let her to be filled with your Holy Spirit today so we can receive from you. Amen.
Thanks. So when I was away, I was going to start all of my sermons with, "Hi, I'm Katie. I'm a girl from Essex with a sewing addiction." But you guys already know that, so I'm not going to start with that. I'm just going to share today about one of the biggest revelations that I had while in Canada. The School of Ministry is focused on inner healing and the three-way journey of inward, the inward journey, the upward journey, and the outward journey. So God decided he was going to focus on my identity during the inward journey. And I think everyone struggles with their identity in some form or another. So I'm going to talk about 3 points today: being made new, sonship, and how we can live out our identity. So growing up, I spent a lot of my childhood feeling like I wasn't loved, I wasn't important, I wasn't special. There were many, many reasons. But I was just, in school, I was just the girl that no one liked. I had no idea why, but I was just hated. And for me, I just thought, I just took on board that everything everyone said to me during that time, because they could see me. They could see me. They spent all day, every day with me. So I just believed them because they could see me. And I believed that's therefore the truth. They could see who I was. They could see what I was like. So I just claimed all of these words that they were saying to me. I just believed that's who I was. But I then decided I didn't want anyone to know who I was anymore. I built walls as high, probably taller than heaven, to be fair. You couldn't get in. I didn't want anyone to see who I was because I was so scared that if you found out who I was, you would start hating me too. So when I went to university, it was a fresh start. I didn't know anyone. I thought I could be anyone who I wanted to be. I could become someone different, someone who people would like. But the problem was I found it hard because I didn't know who I was anymore. I had no sense of identity at all. And I just didn't know who to be because I was scared to let people in. So during my time at School of Ministry, they asked you to write sermons. We have sermon writing class so that we can go on outreach and preach. And for the second sermon, God told me to choose identity from the list. And I didn't really think too much of it, other than that I just hated Identity Week in school. There was this really loud man who came to the school with a ginormous mirror at the front of the class, and he would pick on people to stand in front of this mirror and just say out exactly what they saw. And people then would come up afterwards and say, like, all these nice things about them. But I wasn't doing that. That was going to be too humiliating. I wasn't going to stand in front of this mirror in front of all of my friends and point out everything that I hated about myself. So I decided that if he picked on me, I would just go for a jog instead. I wasn't going to do it. But luckily, one of my friends had done the school before, and she told me that he picks on people who he can see have, like, low self-esteem and who can't hold eye contact. So every time he walked past, he used to like stare into people's eyes as he walked, and I would make sure that I did not break eye contact. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Anyway, so God told me to select identity from the list of topics, and at first I was okay with it until we got to the first sermon writing lesson, and my sermon group leader Isaac, he said, "This week you just have to write your testimony." And I was like, I don't have an identity testimony. So I went and spent time with God, and I was telling him off. I was like, how can you ask me to write this testimony about identity when you haven't told me who I am? I don't know who I am. And I went off on one at him. I was like, I can't write this. I can't tell other people that they need to know who they are when I don't know who I am. But this was God's way of telling me that I was just about to discover who I was. It was during this time when I was journaling that I discovered that I wasn't a mistake. God told me that before time began, before the world, he wanted to have a Katie. So he made a Katie. And here I am. He created me perfectly how he wanted me to be. And that's when I realized that's who I am. It doesn't matter what anyone else in this world can say about me, because I know that I am wanted now. And I know that I am loved. It's still a journey I'm working on. Because it's hard when life throws things at you. The first thing that you wonder is, does God really love me? But I'm just trying to renew my mind and just focus on the things that I know that he's told me. So let's just have a look at what the Bible says about how we get our identity. It says that we have been made anew. When we receive Jesus into our lives, we say goodbye to ourselves and become a new person in him. Who we were before we were saved is not us now. We receive Christ into our lives. Now we look to him for our identity. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. So what does it mean to be a new person? Well, because of the fall, when Eve decided, I'm very grateful to her, when Eve decided to eat an apple, she, not just her, they both did, but they brought sin and all of its consequences into the world. So we have ever since been living affected by sin and everything else that comes with it. And that allows us to be transformed from our very nature into something that we are not. But our identity then is formed on something weak. And it can be formed on anything like our situation, our background, where we've come from, and anything that people say to us, because it gives us a new identity. But this identity is formed in sin, so therefore it can be easily shaken. When we receive Jesus into our lives, we are putting this self-made identity to death, and he gives us a new one. So we leave that identity behind, it's dead and buried, and we rise with Jesus when he rose from the grave. We rose as a new person, not the same person that did all of the stuff before you let Jesus into your life. Like, he creates us new. And this new person is the person that Jesus wants to know and he wants to love. And he does love you so much. In Ephesians 2:10, in the New Living Translation, God describes us as his masterpiece. And I love this word because it's just such a great describing word. It says to me that it's like, if I'm God's masterpiece, I am what he wanted to create. I'm his prized possession. I am so important that he wants to put me on display. And that's what he says about all of you. He is so proud of you and he loves you just the way you are because you're all his masterpiece. He views you just favorably and with love. But how do we know it's true? Don't we still look like the same person? Like, I still look like the same Katie before I let Jesus into my life. But the Holy Spirit moves in. When we ask Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit moves in. And he is our insurance policy. He is our insurance policy of our salvation, of being loved, of everything else. And at first I didn't really understand this because I didn't understand the Holy Spirit in general. He was a bit too confusing for me. Like, he's not a person, so I didn't really understand what the Holy Spirit was. But he is inside us helping us make better choices. And that means that he can help us renew our mind and renew our ways of thinking about ourselves. So I now drink a lot less alcohol than I did before I was saved because I needed that alcohol to find my identity. Because if I was drunk, then I could throw caution to the wind and I could be who I wanted to be without fear. But now I don't need that because he's told me who I am. So now I can just be me. So when he says that we've been made new, he hasn't given you an upgrade. He hasn't, like, He's not just revamping you. He hasn't just given you some new stuff in you. He's completely made you new. You are so far separated now from that old life. You're a completely new person from when Jesus enters your life. So, what is this new identity then? Our identity is in God. It is knowing who we are because of what he says we are. He created you because he wanted the opportunity to love you. It's God's will for us to be in alignment with what he says about us. In John 1:12, it says, "To all who did receive him and to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We have become children of God because we fully received Jesus. He has taken us home to meet his dad, to be part of the family, to part of the royal family. In Romans 8:14-17, it explains this a bit further. It says, "This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God." So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. So I want to unpack this a little bit further. It talks about righteousness. What is righteousness? Is it good behavior? Am I only righteous if I am well behaved? No. Righteousness is who you are. God has made you righteous, so it doesn't matter what you do. You are righteous. It is not based on what you do. It is based on what Jesus has already done. And he has made you righteous, and that becomes a part of your identity. Once we meet Jesus, he took us home to dinner with his dad, just to meet the king. And that would have been enough. I mean, he's the king. But that wasn't enough for God. He wanted to adopt you. He wanted to adopt everyone. And I didn't really understand this concept because growing up in church, I'd always heard the words, "You're adopted into God's family." But it just had no meaning to me. And I just felt like Jesus was the golden boy and I'm just like the little runt over here, like, doesn't matter, does it? He's adopted me, but I'm not anything important. I'm not anything special. Well, this revelation about adoption actually came through Olivia. I was talking to God and he just reminded me of her. And now when she came to live with the Calusi family, she, took some time to get to know her parents, but before long she now knows them as her parents. And that's all she knows. And she is the most loved baby girl in the world. So when I was writing my sermon about identity, I was journaling about how God sees my identity. He told me I have a place of honor at his table, and he chose me because he wants me to be a part of his family. He said, "Adoption means belonging, Katie." I was like, "What?" He said that adoption is the family he chooses, and he is choosing me. He said that I am trying to eat scraps of food from the floor underneath the table when he has set a place of honor for me at his table. And that's when he reminded me of Olivia. He said she was not a Calusi when she was born. She was given to that family. But does that mean she's an outsider in her family? Does that mean that the boys are more loved than her? Like, it doesn't. And that's when it hit me, like, adoption really does mean belonging. Yeah. It means that he wants, like, Olivia is the same as the boys. She is a child in that family. She belongs with them. And they just didn't know it before. Olivia didn't know that she belonged with them, but God always knew it. I didn't know that I belonged with God, but he knew it. He always knew it. Our identity is sons and daughters of the King. And when we get that revelation, it's amazing. I should have introduced myself earlier as Princess Katie, because that's who I am. But I can still choose. I can choose to eat scraps off of the floor. But I can also choose to sit down at that table knowing that I am a daughter of the King. I can choose to sit down in that place of honor and just accept that I am loved. And that's who he says that I am. He gives us a new identity, and that is found in acceptance by him. During worship one morning at SOM, God decided to tell me that he had put my identity in my name. So Catherine means pure. Louise means renowned warrior, and Elwis actually means son of the renowned warrior. And he was saying, I have purified you, and now you are strong, and you are a warrior. But not only that, he has put in my name that I am a child of another warrior. I am his child, and that is in my name. And he was just repeating my name to me that morning during worship, because he was like, you have to know this. You have to know how I see you. You are my daughter. So our identity is found in belonging, and we belong with him. But as royalty, it can sometimes be easy to forget to put our crowns or tiaras on during the day. We wake up and we can look at the world outside and be like, just see that, and life just goes by, and we don't always live out who we are. But it is a choice. So we need to be firmly rooted and grounded in the knowledge of who we are, so that when trouble comes, we're not shaken. We simply just have to readjust and straighten that crown or tiara on our head. Be like, no, I have authority because I am the daughter of the King. I am the son of the King. I have authority. Ephesians 4:22 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So it is a fact that we have a new identity now that we are a new creation. But God gives us a choice, and it is our choice every day to wake up and decide that we are going to live as a child of God. It doesn't just happen. It says that you have to put off your old self, which means you have to do something. We have to wake up and say, I am a child of God. Today I'm going to live in the authority that has been given to me. In Ephesians 6:14, we're given an armor to protect our identity. But to really discover this new identity, we can pray for revelation of love. Ephesians 3:18 says that once we understand God's love, relationship with him reveals who he is, and therefore we learn who we are as his masterpiece. Being rooted and grounded in his love and in who we are means that we're not shaken as easily. Things are still going to come at us in life, but as long as we know who we are and what he thinks of us, that is the most important thing, because that can't be taken away. That's ingrained in you. That's in your blood. That is, he is living inside of you. The Holy Spirit is your insurance policy. We can choose to live out the old nature, but it doesn't fit anymore because we're not part of that old nature. We're someone new. So if we're living out the old nature, we're not benefiting anything, are we? We're not getting anything from it. We are new, so we need to start living out our new nature. So going back to the verse in Ephesians 4:22, we can choose daily to put on our new self, created to be like God and live out righteousness and holiness. This doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. We still have the capability to sin, but we don't need to live our lives focused on sin. We need to live our lives focused on God and what God says. But to live it out, we need to know who is inside of us now. And God is living inside of us. We have become the holy temple and the Ark of the Covenant. That's us now. And being a child of God means that you can walk into any room, anywhere, and atmospheres change. Atmospheres change because you're in the room, because he is with you. But it only works if you know it's in you. You have to know it. You have to understand that God is living inside of you. And then you have all of the authority that he has given you. God loved you so much that he wanted to give you everything that Jesus has. Jesus is his son, but now you guys are too. So you have access to everything that Jesus has access to. So you have all of the authority, and we just need to live it. Just the other day, I wasn't living in this reality. I was overanalyzing things about whether I was actually doing anything out of love. Because the Bible says, if you don't do it in love, then it's pointless, right? So I was reading this verse and I was like, oh, do I actually do this in love? And I was trying to talk to God and I was getting really, really worried about it. And he said, Katie, who are you? It was just a whisper. Who are you? And I was like, right, who am I? I'm Princess Katie. I was like, I don't need to worry about what I do because I'm already loved. I can't do anything to make him love me more. And if I do something wrong, he can't love me any less because I am Princess Katie. And what he says about us, it just doesn't change. It never changes. It doesn't matter what you do, what color you're wearing one day, who you're friends with one day and who you're not friends with another day. It doesn't make any difference to how much he loves you. And once we have heart revelation of this fact, that's when we can start living out our lives as sons and daughters of the King. We can start the renewal of our mind by writing and speaking out declarations. I know Patricia was talking to us about declarations, but they do work. I declare over myself that I am beautiful. And I actually have a funny story about that one. I used to, when I was at School of Ministry, I was always so horrible to myself. And my small group leader said, I want you to stick 6 words, nice things, on your mirror and look into your eyes and say them to yourself every day. And I was like, oh, this is pointless. This isn't going to work. But I was doing it. And then one day I was stood at the end of my roommate's bed talking to her. And I wasn't really thinking about what I was saying. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm really beautiful. And I've walked off into the bathroom. And then I was like, Naomi, did you just hear that? She was like, were you just nice to yourself? I was like, yeah. When does that happen? So I do believe that declarations have a lot of power. The words that we speak out, we have the choice to speak life or death over ourselves. And let's just choose to speak life. And it will renew the way that you think. It's not an easy process, but it is a process that we can do because we have the power of the Holy Spirit with us. So I have a lot of declarations, like I am beautiful, made in his image, and I am exactly who he wants me to be. This one I stole from Sibeli. I'm loved, honored, and chosen. Or we can just speak out the truth that it says in the Bible, because there is a lot of truth about us in the Bible that God wants us to know. If you have a look in the Psalms, I can't remember what number Psalm is, but it says that we were perfectly formed in the womb, and he knows when we rise and he knows when we sit down. He knows everything about us, and it is just so useful to declare that over your lives. And I think ultimately you just have to know that you can sit down in front of your dad and ask him for everything, because he wants to give you everything. And you have access to it, but you just need to approach him as a child and say, Dad, I need this. And he is so generous and so loving that he just gives it to you. Had this vision once. During the conference at SOM, we serve. And I think it was my day off and I was just in the worship. And I don't know what happened. Suddenly I was like a 5-year-old. I was laughing my head off and I was like, hey, Dad, I want some gold dust. And he was like, reach into the heavens. So I've reached up, pulled it down, and I've looked at my hands, and there was so much gold dust all over my hands. And I was telling all of my friends, and once I had told them, everyone was acting like a child. We looked like we probably should have been banned from the conference that day, because we were rolling on the floor in the aisles, just laughing our head off. Have no idea what the preacher was speaking about that day. No idea. But he showed me this picture. When we ask, It's like a child saying to their dad, can I have a pound to go and buy some sweets? And he just reaches into his pocket. He just put it in his hand. And that's what he showed me. I asked for gold dust, put his hand in his pocket, pulled it out, and he just sprinkled my hands with gold dust. And we just need to be bold when we approach him And he is ready to give us everything that we need. So finding your identity with God involves meeting him in the secret place. For some of you, that could be journaling like it is with me. It could be private worship or reading your Bible or just go for a walk and just talk to God. He's always talking back. He just wants your time. And we just need to start by asking God how he sees us. That is the start to renewing your mind. You can't know how he sees you until you ask him. He has so much to tell you. And when you hear it from God, you need to accept it. Don't doubt it. Has this really come from God? Like, if I would never have told myself that I was beautiful without God, because I never, ever, ever believed that. And I'm never that nice to myself. So if it's nice, it's probably from God. So we need to put on our new self, robing us with our new identity. And then we can really live it. We can really live it. So I'm working on this every day, making this an everyday thing. And it is hard because life does seem to get in the way. But if you saturate your mind with God's truth and God's word, it just reminds you of how much he really loves you. It's full of his word is full of his unconditional love for you. So I think that is the starting point for finding our identities in Christ. So I feel like we should give it a go. So in a second, we're going to stand up and we're going to ask God a question. Once he's told you the answer, I want you to turn to your friend and tell them what he said. I then want you to try for the next week to tell yourself this word, looking yourself in the eyes in the mirror every day for 1 week and see if you notice a difference. So stand up. Put your hand on your heart and close your eyes. Okay, now I want you to ask God, who do you say I am? When you've got something, turn to your friend, whoever is next to you, and just say, I am, and whatever God has told you.
Okay, well, I hope that you all had some revelation of how God sees you today.